मुखं करति वाचालं भंगं लंगायते गिरिं यत्कृपा त्वं अहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुदेवतानां ॐ मघिनाथ मिरन्दस्य गणाङ्गना शलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. So these beautiful prayers spoken from the mouth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Lord Jagannath are going to be the topic of today's discussion in light of the fact that today we celebrate Nanayacha, the bathing ceremony of Lord Jagannath, and we'll talk about that in a little while. So we'll take the prayers one by one. I'll read the translations of the first two prayers first. Sometimes, in great happiness, Lord Jagannath, with his flute, takes a loud concert in the groves on the banks of the Jamuna. He is like a bumblebee who tastes the beautiful lotus-like faces of the cowherd damsels of Vraja. And his lotus feet are worshipped by great personalities such as Lakshmi, Shiva, Brahma, Indra, and Ganesh. May that Jagannath Swami be the object of my vision. In his left hand, Lord Jagannath holds a flute. On his head, he wears the feather of peacocks. And on his hips, he wears fine yellow silken cloth. Out of the corners of his eyes, he bestowed sidelong glances upon his loving devotees, and he always reveals himself through his pastimes in the divine abode of Vrindavan. May that Jagannath Swami be the object of my vision. So the Lord is Anantarupam. He has many, many forms. And it is said that whatever the devotee wants to see, however the devotee wants to reciprocate with the Lord takes a form to reciprocate in that way. Just like not too long ago we were hearing about Nrisimhadev, who appeared in that form particularly to take care of a certain situation. So here we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is appearing in the mood of Srimati Radharani in separation from her Lord Krishna. And so Jagannath Swami, when Lord Chaitanya looks at Lord Jagannath, he actually sees Krishna in the groves of Vrindavan. The Lord appears in that mood specifically to reciprocate with his devotee. And this verse, or these two verses actually, describe how Lord Jagannath and the Krishna in Vrindavan are the same. They're actually one. And actually, Lord Jagannath, in the eyes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is playing the flute by the river Jamuna. And he's glancing at the gopis in Vrindavan, specifically at Srimati Radharani, in a sidelong glance. Because the sidelong glance, when we're looking at somebody directly, we expect to have some discussion or to tell the truth, but we're looking sidelong. It means we have some secret between us that no one else really knows. Like you two are looking at each other sidelong, so you must have some secret. So Krishna, he has some secret relationship with the gopis, with his devotees, and it's a very confidential relationship. And so when they see that sidelong glance, it reminds them that they have a secret with Krishna, something that no one else knows about. And it gives them a feeling of a special reciprocation with the Lord. This particular prayer, the gopis' faces are compared to lotuses. And Krishna is compared to the bumblebee, because the bumblebee enters into the lotus and takes the honey from there. So also Krishna, he looks at the lotus faces of the gopis, and he takes nectar from seeing them and reciprocating with them in that relationship. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he's also conscious of the surroundings, at least sometimes, he wants us to make sure that we don't consider this relationship between Krishna and the gopis to be something mundane. So he reminds us that this Jagannath Swami is worshipped by so many great personalities, including Lakshmi and Brahma and Shiva and Lord Ganesh and even Lord Indra, the head of the demigods. All these great persons worship this Lord. So he's not an ordinary person. And we shouldn't take his relationship with Radha And with the gopis is an ordinary loving relationship between some ordinary boy and some ordinary girl. And it's specifically spoken that in this prayer, both men and women are mentioned. Lakshmi is mentioned, Lord Brahma is mentioned, Lord Shiva is mentioned. So both men and women, it doesn't matter whether you're a man or whether you're a woman in this material sphere. Both men and women can find shelter in the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath, of Krishna. So even Lakshmi Devi is mentioned specifically along with all these other demigods or these devas, because she didn't have the bhav, the relationship that Srimati Radharani had. And so she too worships Lord Jagannath in a mood of Aishwarya like these others do. Whereas Srimati Radharani and the gopis, they have a different relationship, a relationship of loving devotion, a relationship which is not affected by Aishwarya. So the second verse begins to describe Lord Krishna still, continues a little bit to describe how he appears. And sometimes when we see Lord Jagannath, we don't see Lord Jagannath this way. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Lord Jagannath, he saw Lord Jagannath this way. He saw Lord Jagannath with a peacock feather and the pitambara, the yellow dhoti. And he saw Lord Jagannath running along the banks of the Jamuna. And he saw the gopis and his relationship with them. And he saw Krishna revealing his wonderful pastimes in Vrindavan every time he looked at Lord Jagannath. And that's why, if you remember, the first time that Lord Chaitanya entered into the temple of Jagannath Swami, he fainted immediately because he saw there Krishna in Vrindavan, the Lord of his life, and he just couldn't contain himself, so he just collapsed. So this is the idea that we understand from these first two prayers, that Krishna in Vrindavan and Lord Jagannath are non-different. And that all the loving relationship of Lord Jagannath and his devotees is there attainable from this Lord Jagannath, Lord Baladev, and Subhadra Maharani. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. So now, in the third verse, we move on to Jagannath Puri. And the translation of the third verse is, residing on the shore of the great ocean, with a large palace situated upon the crest of the brilliant golden Nilachal Hill, along with his powerful brother Balabhadra, and in the middle of them is his sister Subhadra, Lord Jagannath bestows the opportunity for devotional service upon all godly souls. May that Jagannath Swami be the object of my vision. So here now, moving from Vrindavan to another vision of Lord Jagannath in his present abode, in the present manifestation of Vrindavan, because we'll hear when we talk about the Rath Yatra that actually Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri takes, Jagannath takes the walk from Vrindavan. He leaves Nilachala and he goes to Vrindavan. So this is the pastimes are mixed together. So now the move shifts from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri. And we hear that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's actually seeing on the shore of the ocean a golden palace. Sometimes we go to Lord Jagannath's temple and we don't exactly see a golden palace. But Lord Chaitanya, he saw a golden palace situated on Nilachala Hill, the beautiful Nila Parvat. And here the Lord resides and rules, the Lord with Lord Balaram. And in his side, next to the two of them, is Subhadra. And together they're offering a chance to all devotees to have the ultimate mercy. Because Lord Jagannath is the most merciful Lord, next to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada said, is 100% mercy, and Lord Jagannath is 90% mercy. So Lord Jagannath is very merciful, and he appears together with his brother Baladev, Balaram. Balaram is famous because he's very strong. Bala means very strong. And he takes pleasure in performing very strong pastimes, all the pastimes in Vrindavan. He's beating demons. He's very powerful, carrying his plow, his club. He's very strong. And he actually has a relationship with Lord Jagannath, with Krishna, in service. So although Lord Balaram is Krishna's older brother, actually his relationship is one of service. And even though Krishna often, always offers some deference to Lord Balaram because he's an older brother, still Krishna always gets his way. Even when Balaram has an objection, Krishna manages to turn him around. So Krishna is really the supreme, and that's what Prabhupada said when Krishna and Balaram, right? Why is Balaram leaning on Krishna's shoulder? He said, which one of them is stronger? And the devotee said, Balaram. He said, no, Krishna is actually stronger. That's why Balaram's leaning on his shoulder. But Lord Balaram appears as the Nila Parvat because he's an Antishesh. So he actually supports the whole temple of Jagannath and Lord Jagannath himself. And together, they're offering a chance for all devotees to render some service. Lord Jagannath comes first, Lord Balaram comes second, because Lord Balaram is the servant of Krishna. And in the center is Subhadra, Srimati Subhadra, who's protected by her two strong brothers. Another name for Lord Balaram is Baladev. And Lord Baladev is a different mood than Balaram. Balaram is, you know, one who takes pleasure in being strong. But Baladev, he gives strong blessings. He gives shelter. And he appears in the mood of the guru. Balaram is the Adi Guru. From him, the guru comes. Because the guru offers us an opportunity to connect with Krishna in loving service. So having that relationship with Baladev, as the Adi Guru, allows us to make spiritual advancement. Without the mercy of the spiritual master, no one can make spiritual advancement, like we chant in the Guru Vashtakam prayers in the morning, Yasya Prasada, Bhagavad Prasada, Yasya Prasada, Nagati Katopi. Lord Balaram has another unique feature, in that he's the only one that enters into all the leelas of Vrindavan, and all the leelas of Dwarka, and all the leelas of Krishna, everywhere. When he comes as Ram, Balaram is there as Lakshman. When he comes as Lord Chaitanya, Balaram is there as Nityananda. And Balaram is playing with the cowherd boys, but he also knows about the situation with the gopis, right? When Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill, Balaram is knowing exactly what's on Krishna's mind. So he has this unique ras that he's there all the time. Even in Dwarka, Lord Balaram is there. So he has the special ability to bestow this privilege of allowing us into the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Okay, so then we go on to the fourth verse. Lord Jagannath is an ocean of mercy, and he is beautiful like a row of blackish rain clouds. Now, just as an aside here, we have a lot of blackish rain clouds here in Slovenia lately, right? Constantly rain. So Lord Jagannath is compared to two things. He's compared to an ocean of mercy, and at the same time, he's compared to this blackish rain's clouds. Now, there's a difference, because the ocean stays in one place, but the cloud goes everywhere and distributes its rain everywhere. So Lord Jagannath, he's Krishna in Vrindavan, but at the same time, he's also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath himself, who's appearing everywhere to give the mercy, to share the mercy with all the living entities all over. So to continue the translation, he is a storehouse of bliss for Lakshmi and Saraswati, and his face is like a spotless, full-blown lotus. He is worshipped by the best of demigods and sages, and his glories are sung by the Upanishads. May that Jagannath Swami be the object of my vision. So Lord Jagannath, I said, he's an ocean of mercy, and he's compared specifically, there's two words here, Jalada. Jalada means clouds, but because he's called Sajala, Sajala means with water, right? Some clouds don't have water, but Lord Jagannath, the cloud, he has lots of water, lots of mercy, and he's traveling all over, and he's distributing that mercy, and especially with Prabhupada's intervention, we see Lord Jagannath is all over the world now, distributing his mercy, not just in Jagannath Puri, but everywhere, in so many different cities and towns and villages. Lord Jagannath is appearing to allow those who wouldn't ordinarily go to the temple to see him and to render some service. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. So he showers his mercy on everyone. And Lord Jagannath gives pleasure like the cloud gives delight to everyone. In India, it gets very hot. And the hot season comes more and more until it's barely tolerable. So it's described in the Krishna book, and we all have had the experience if we've been there, that when the rain comes, then it cools everything down. And in Vrindavan, everything turns green. Before that, everything is a little dry. Even the Jamuna sometimes is dry. But when the rain comes, then everything becomes green and wet and beautiful. Here also, you see the roses are growing so nicely, and everything is very green because there's so much rain. So Lord Jagannath, he's showering his mercy all over the place. Like a cloud, it gives a delight to everyone. And this includes the Lakshmi and Saraswati and all the people from the highest level down to the lowest. Right? Abrahma Bhuvanaloka. From the highest to the lowest. When they're in the material world, it's a place of misery. But with Lord Jagannath's mercy, everybody, even the demigods and even the average people on the street, they all get the mercy of Lord Jagannath. So the great demigods, the great rishis, they worship him, and the shrutis glorify him. And so this Lord Chaitanya is saying, all I want to do is Gita Charito. I just want to sing his glories and memorize, think about, sing about his activities and his qualities. So then we go to the fifth verse. And the fifth verse begins to speak about the Rath Yatra festival. When Lord Jagannath is on his Rath Yatra cart and is moving along the road, at every step there is a loud presentation of prayers and songs chanted by large assemblies of brahmanas. Hearing their hymns, Lord Jagannath is very favorably disposed towards them. He is the ocean of mercy and the true friend of all the worlds. May that Jagannath Swami, along with his consort Lakshmi, who was born from the ocean of nectar, be the object of my vision. So here, we're hearing about Lord Jagannath, about the Rath Yatra. And there are many different deities in India that have a Rath Yatra. Many deities go on parikrama. Even in our temple, right, in Mayapur, the deities go on the elephant procession. And they're taken on a kind of a cart that sits on top of Jagannath. And many, many places, Guruvayur and so many different Udupi, Krishna, they take the Utsav deity and they take him out on parikrama. The Utsav deity is a small deity that's specifically for festivals and things like that. He's easily movable. But the Pranpratishtha deity, the deity that's actually installed in the temple, never comes out except Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath, he doesn't want some representative of himself to go out. He himself goes out to see the people. He himself goes out to share the mercy with everybody. So that's a very special thing, that Lord Jagannath in his giant wood form, although you may have heard that it's very difficult to take Lord Jagannath out. They have these big puffy pillows that they use to move him down the stairs, and sometimes they break, and feathers and cotton flies all over the place, and they have to have big ropes and heavy guys to pull Jagannath and Balaram down, and there's big huge carts. But still, even though it's a little difficult, Lord Jagannath insists, I will come myself and give the mercy to everybody. So there are a couple of stories about how Lord Jagannath appears. And one of them, I'll tell two. There are many, but there's two that are prominent. And one of them is that when Krishna is in Dwarka, he's hearing a lot of times about the suffering of the gopis in separation in Vrindavan. And many people tried. Uddhava went and he tried to, you know, came back and said, you don't understand how bad it is over there. You should really go visit. And Balaram went also, and Balaram promised, I'll bring him back. But Krishna was busy with so many things, and he didn't go. So finally, Krishna decided that he would go to see the gopis in Vrindavan. And it was decided that someone should go before and tell them that he's coming. So they thought first, Balaram should go. But Balaram said, no, I can't go. I already went once and told them you were coming, and then you never came. Now they won't believe me anymore, so how can I go again? So Subhadra said, okay, I'll go. They have no reason not to believe me. I'll go. So so Subhadra started off, but Subhadra never goes by herself. So her two brothers went with her. They thought they'd send her forward. But when they got to Vrindavan and they saw the suffering of the gopis in separation, their ecstasy of separation, hard to understand those two words together, ecstasy and suffering. But the relationship of the gopis with Krishna, specifically Srimati Radharani, but all the residents of Vrindavan, when Krishna is not there, they're absorbed completely in thought of him. But it's a bittersweet feeling that when will Krishna come? I can't live without him. And at the same time, I can't forget him either. I have to think about him all the time. So when Subhadra and Jagannath and Balaram saw the mode of the gopis and the love of the gopis, they became so ecstatic that their form started to change. And their arms went in their body and their legs went in their body and their eyes, Jagannath and Balaram, their eyes got huge. And they were just standing there. And Subhadra, she had never seen the gopis of Vrindavan before. The others had been there before and seen their separation. Subhadra had never seen them in this mood. So she was most affected. And her arms went totally into her body and her legs went totally into her body. And they assumed the form that you see of Lord Jagannath. So that's one explanation of them. The second story is that in Dwarka, the devotees went to Rohini. Now, Rohini is a unique person. She's Balaram's mother. And she also goes to both Vrindavan and Dwarka, although she's not part of all the leelas of Krishna in Vrindavan. She is there. So she came to Dwarka. She was in Dwarka. And the Dwarkavasis, they had heard, because they saw Krishna was always talking about Vrindavan. In his sleep, he would talk about Vrindavan, even. So they took Rohini, and they said, can you tell us about the pastimes of Vrindavan? Please talk to us about Vrindavan. Let us hear about the gopis and the cowherd boys and the cows. We want to hear about Krishna and Vrindavan. But Rohini said, listen, if Krishna and Balaram hear me talking about Vrindavan, they'll be out of here in 2 seconds and you'll never get them back. So it has to be that I tell you in a closed place. Because if they hear, then it's all over. You know, he has a hard enough time staying here as it is. But if he starts to remember vividly all the pastimes and all the devotees in Vrindavan, he won't be able to stay here. So they hired, you know, figuratively, they hired Subhadra to stand guard outside. And they went into a house and they closed all the windows and all the doors. And Rohini started to tell the residents of Dwarka about the leelas of Vrindavan. Now Krishna, he has a special ear when it comes to the leelas of Vrindavan. He can hear anything, right? He's in everyone's heart. So there's no question of locking Krishna out. So no matter where he is, someone is talking about Vrindavan and Krishna is all ears, right? So all of a sudden he said, Balaram, they're talking about the Vrindavan leela. Listen. And they ran to the spot. And there was Subhadra. She was supposed to be standing guard. But she was already in ecstasy because of hearing the pastimes. And she didn't even notice that they were there. She was already transformed. And when they came, they too became transformed. So the three of them were standing there in this mood of ecstasy, hearing the leelas of Vrindavan. And Narada Muni came by. Narada Muni saw them in that form. And he too was listening. And then when the narrations were over and they regained their normal selves, he said, you need to share this form, this wonderful form. You need to share it with all the people of the world. You can't just keep it to yourself. So Lord Krishna agreed. And he manifested himself through the pastimes of Maharaj Indradumna. And you might know those pastimes, Maharaj Indradumna, the Subhara king who was worshipping Jagannath in Nilachala Hill, the deity of up in Nilachala. And then, but Indradumna really wanted that deity to come and to worship him. And so he sent somebody with mustard seeds and made a path and went up there. And then finally, the deity spoke and said, I'm not going to come in that form. You should find a log, will come up in the ocean, and you should get this person to carve. It was actually Vishwakarma. And so but the carver said, listen, I'll take my time carving the deity, and you shouldn't even open the doors while I'm carving, because if you open the doors while I'm carving, then it'll be finished. It won't happen. So Indradumna Maharaj said, okay, but after a few days, after 15 days, I think it was 15 days, then he didn't hear any noise anymore. Before, he was hearing tap, 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 as the guy, the carver was carving. But then he stopped hearing anything. And he waited a day or two, pacing back and forth. He still didn't hear anything. Finally, couldn't stand it anymore. And he just threw open the doors. And there was Lord Jagannath in what appeared to be an unfinished form. And so Indradumna Maharaj was feeling, oh my gosh, it's because of me. I had no patience and I caused the deity to not be finished. And now Nilamadava is manifested in this strange way. And it's my fault. And then he received a transcendental bit of information from the Supreme Lord. No, this is my Leela. And this form, as you see me, is actually the form that's supposed to be worshipped now. I have manifested in this form. And so this was Jagannath's appearance pastime. And so when when Indradumna had the deities and he wanted to install them, he had this Abhishek, and this Abhishek is Snanayatra. Huh? So, because Lord Jagannath was painted with beautiful minerals and natural paint, when he was poured all these things on top of him, his paint started to get a little bit lighter and lighter, and they said he looked a little off color. And so, they had to paint him again, so he went away for 14, 15 days, and he's in this Leela of being, ill, so he stays away while he's being repainted. Now, this Anavasara, it's called Anavasara Kala when he's sick. And then when he comes out, it's called Netravasara, Netrasara. That's when they, a feast for the eyes when he reappears. And then he goes on this Rathiatra, and I'll tell you a little bit about the origin of Rathiatra. Because Rathiatra is a depiction of a Leela when, Srimati Radharani and all the residents of Vrindavan, they hadn't seen Krishna for a long, long time. So there was an eclipse. And when there's an eclipse, people do very spiritual things, because an eclipse is very inauspicious, actually. And so in order to counteract the inauspiciousness of the eclipse, they come together and they chant the holy name. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, also you saw everyone was in the Ganga chanting the holy name. These people are not near the Ganga. So they went to Kurukshetra. And all the Yadavas and all the residents of Vrindavan, they all met in Kurukshetra. So Srimati Radharani and the gopis, they finally got to see Krishna. After such long separation, now they were finally getting to see Krishna, but there was a problem. Because Krishna was dressed as a king. He was in Dwarkavesh. He was wearing jewels and heavy armor, and was riding an elephant. And even worse than that, there was no Jamuna. He didn't have his flute. He didn't look like the same Krishna. He wasn't wearing a peacock feather. And not only that, but all the elders were around. There was no privacy. No groves of Vrindavan to go into. No opportunity to dance in the moonlight by the Jamuna. So the gopis were feeling, well, this is good, but it's not good enough. Srimati Radharani was thinking, it's so nice that Krishna's here, but really it just makes it worse. Because I want to see Krishna in the groves of Vrindavan. I want to see Krishna with the gopis by the Jamuna. I want to see my Krishna with the flute and the yellow dhoti and the peacock feather in his hair. Not this king stuff, you know, with all this armor and these elephants and all this. I want them with the cows. So she began to meditate. And she meditated on a Rathiatra, on a cart. She meditated on a cart with her driving the cart. She meditated on bringing Krishna in the cart and bringing him back to Vrindavan. And all the gopis in their meditation, they were pulling that cart and bringing Krishna from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan. And Krishna could understand her desire. And so this Rathiatra is manifest to live that pastime of taking Lord Jagannath from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan so that he can go with the gopis in the mood that Srimati Radharani wanted to see him. And so it goes from Nilachala, which is Kurukshetra, to Sundarachala, which is Vrindavan. And so the gopi, all the devotees are given a special privilege to assist Srimati Radharani and the gopis in pulling Krishna from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan. A very special opportunity to engage in a very special kind of service to assist Krishna in this desire to participate in this most amazing lila. And it increases the affection of Krishna for his devotees so much when he sees them helping Srimati Radharani and the gopis get him from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan, that he's very willing to bestow his mercy. So now we go to Mantra 6. And in Mantra 6, it says, "He is the ornament on the head of Lord Brahma, and his eyes are like full-blown petals of the lotus. He resides on the Nilachala hill, and his lotus feet are placed on the heads of Anantadev. Lord Jagannath is overwhelmed by the mellows of love, and he becomes joyful in the embracing of the body of Srimati Radharani, which is like a cool pond. May that Jagannath Swami be the object of my vision." So this verse celebrates the uniting of Srimati Radharani and Krishna back in Vrindavan. Because by the end of the Rath Yatra, Krishna is back in Vrindavan. And for that brief period of time that he stays there, Krishna is reunited with Srimati Radharani, much to the chagrin of Lakshmi. And so there's this Harapanchami celebration, but I'm not going to talk about that because that's a whole other story. But it's quite interesting what Lakshmi does to Lord Jagannath, to Lord Chaitanya and all his servants, all Lord Jagannath's servants, because she misses him. "Hey, you said you were just going for a walk, little short trip, and you stayed for a whole week. Now it's time to come back." So Lord Krishna is so happy to be back in the united with Srimati Radharani that he's feeling a special kind of ecstasy, and it's cooling the heat of his separation, the fire of his separation. And that's why Srimati Radharani is being compared to a cool pond. And then the last two verses are prayers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of a devotee. Now coming to the mood of a devotee, of course he's in the mood of Srimati Radharani, who's the topmost devotee, but he's in the mood of a regular devotee. Because you see, in this whole lila, Lord Chaitanya is in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And she's longing for Krishna. And Lord Jagannath is in the mood of Krishna, longing for Srimati Radharani. So the devotee is given a special privilege during the Rath Yatra festival to participate in this most intimate pastime of Srimati Radharani and Krishna coming together and experiencing the ecstasy of assisting them in their lilas, which is the exclusive privilege of the residents of Vrindavan, that everybody in Vrindavan is assisting Radha and Krishna in their lilas by picking flowers, by making garlands, by churning butter, by making sandalwood paste, by cooking for Krishna, by bathing Krishna, by dressing Krishna, by going out in the fields with Krishna and playing with Krishna. All the residents of Vrindavan are assisting Krishna in so many different ways. And in this particular lila of Rath Yatra, the devotees, the general devotees, are given the privilege of being able to assist Krishna in his wonderful, wonderful pastimes. So these last two prayers, "I do not pray for a kingdom, nor for gold, rubies, and wealth. I do not ask for an excellent and beautiful wife as desired by all men. I simply pray that Jagannath Swami, whose glories are always sung by Lord Shiva, be the constant object of my vision. O Lord of the demigods, please quickly remove this useless material existence I am undergoing. O Lord of the Yadus, please destroy this vast ocean of sins which has no shore. Alas, This is certain, that Lord Jagannath's lotus feet are bestowed upon those who feel themselves fallen and have no shelter in this world but him. May that Jagannath Swami be the object of my vision. So here we have the prayer of the devotee that once experiencing the relationship between Radha and Krishna, once seeing, feeling the mercy of Lord Jagannath, then let my material desires go away. We hear the same thing from Lord Chaitanya in his Shashashtakam, right? Najanam nanadam nadanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadisha kame mama janmani 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 shvare bhavatad bhakti rahaistukitahi. I don't want wealth. I don't want a husband, a wife, a kid. I don't want anything. I don't want anything except to be your servant. So this is the mood of the devotee, and it goes on. These things, if I want them, they cause me to forget you. Just like we're doing Bhagavatam class, that because of a little lack of focus, then everything goes bad. I forget what the purpose of my life is, and I become illusioned by desire for material things. So this devotee is praying, don't let me become distracted. Take it all away. Because I don't want to become distracted, but still I become distracted. Even though I don't want to become distracted, my mind is drawn to these things. So please help me. Give me the strength so that I don't get destroyed by these material desires. And then he says, Lord Shiva, he's the destroyer of everything. But where does he get his pleasure? He gets his pleasure in singing your glories. So let me also relish your pastimes and relish your spiritual potency, your eternal relationship with your devotees, and let me get out of this temporary material world. Let me delight in singing your glories. Let me connect whatever I do to you. This is the prayer of the devotee. And the last is a desperate call to Lord Jagannath. Please help me get out of the wheel of samsara. I'm burning again and again in so many different samsaras. There's obstacles in my path, unlimited obstacles, because I've been unlimitedly sinful in previous lives. And therefore, I have unlimited karma. So I have unlimited sin, unlimited karma. Jaya Pancha Tattva, Hare Krishna, Gornatai, Hare Krishna. I have unlimited sins and unlimited karmas. Only you can take them away. And he calls him a special name. Hey, Dinanath. Dinanath means the controller, the master of the most fallen. I'm Dina. I'm the most fallen. And I have no good qualification. I need your mercy. Because without your mercy, there's no chance for me. I have so much sinful reaction. Please help me to connect with you, to be able to just think of your pastimes and just engage in your service. So Dinanath, I'm Dina. And the point that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was making is that mood of coming to Krishna as the most fallen, that mood of coming to Krishna as not being able to take care of anything. Even I have martial arts skills, even I'm rich, even I'm famous, even I'm strong, even I have big position, still, when it comes to the ultimate issue, I'm Dina. I have no qualification. The material things that I have, they'll all go away, right? In a minute, they just kamala dala jala jivana talamala. They just go away like a drop of water. They disappear. So you, Dinanath, are the only shelter for me. So please take me across this ocean of material existence. There's an ocean of sin. There's an ocean of faults. There's an ocean of karma. But you can reduce it all to the size of a calf hoofprint. And you can take me across. So the prayer of the devotee is, please let me see you in the pathways of my eyes. Wherever I look, let me see you. Let me be able to remember you everywhere. And this is the prayer of the devotee, as manifest by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Lord Jagannath. So today we had Snanayatra. We don't really have Rathayatra. But we can still remember Lord Jagannath in this way, that Lord Jagannath is so merciful. And he appears and allows us to take care of him. I can tell you one little story. And I have not time, I'm over, but I'll give you one little story. That in Buffalo, you know, we used to take care of Lord Jagannath. But he was the only deity we had. And we didn't know how to take care of him. So we didn't do a very good job. We used to put him in a bowl of soapy water and soap him up and dry him with a towel from the Brahmachari ashram. It was a clean towel, but it was still from the Brahmachari ashram. And we would dry him and then we would offer him something. We didn't know how to prepare. So we had Lord Jagannath up on the top of the altar. And then we'd put the offering down here, and we'd close the curtain. So it's like, ha-ha, you can't have any. And we only jest him every Ekadasi. And so we were trying to take care of him, but we really didn't know how to take care of him. So we wrote to the Prabhupada. Prabhupada gradually told us to take care of him. But because Lord Jagannath is 90% mercy, he still helped us to advance in devotional service. So thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Jagannatha Swami ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare bol. Hare Krishna.
Hare bol. Lakshmi Mani ki.
Hare bol.
Naslednja točka programa Prasadam.
Yeah, prasadam ki.
Prasadam. Jagannath zelo rad je prasadam. V Jagannathpuri je posebna tradicija, kjer vsak dan ponujejo 46 različnih jedi Jagannathu v velikih količinah in on vse to poje, istočasno pa tudi pusti ostanke, tako da lahko bakte uživajo to milost. Tako bomo tudi mi danes. Jagannath je pojedel in istočasno tudi pustil za nas.
That's another way that Lord Jagannath is mercy. It said that his hands are never dry because he's always accepting offerings from his devotees. He eats 55 times a day in Jagannath Puri. And always there's prasadam. Always, always. So much prasadam is being distributed. Prasadam. So that's another merciful move of Lord Jagannath. He wants to make sure there's enough prasadam for everybody. So always cooking is going on in Jagannath temple. Hare Krishna.